it's recording. Okay, so if we go to frames, because that was the question. Okay.
Well, I definitely had that wrong.
What?
With oxide.
Okay. Okay, so the things you need to do is in XHTML, you can have strict, you can have transitional, or you can have frameset. Okay, those are the three kinds that you can have when you're dealing with XHTML. So you had to pick which one you wanted. Okay, so in this case, it has to be frameset. If you're doing frameset in it, it has to be frameset. Strict and transitional can be basically if you wanted to catch all the errors go with strict. If you kind of want the big picture to go with transitional, it's kind of a cop-out, and you probably should try to go with strict. But you're probably also not going to be writing much in XHTML anymore. We're looking at XHTML more as a trend, something that you may have to change over to HTML5. But you should also look at frameset, because some people really still like frames, as I said, myself included. So you should kind of know what a frame is and how to set it up. So you put up at the top, in those top four lines, you have frameset twice to tell it that it's a frameset. And then you go down inside, and notice there's no body. It's just frameset. And you set up the rows and columns the way you want them. This one just simply has two rows. One is 50%, the other is, I could have put 50%, or asterisk just means everything else. And then you put in your frame source, and then you put in the names if you're going to want to use targets to put things into different frames. Okay. So, if you change that, hopefully it will validate.
It still wants to tell me end tag, a frame is omitted, but omit tag no is specified, whatever that means.
Exactly.
Start over.
Let's see if mine validates anymore. Because I did not check it to see if it had validates anymore. At one point, I wrote validates frame set, so it validated. So we can go to the validator.
Mine validates.
Okay, so if I have a file, new window, and if I type V, hopefully it will bring up validator. V-A, V-A-L, V-A-L-I-D. Okay, anybody remember what the address is?
V-A-L-I-D.
Validator.w3.org.
.w3.org. Okay, so.
Well, yours passed.
Mine passed?
Yes.
Okay, so I clearly did something better than you did.
Probably missing like a little character.
Okay, so if I go in on this and I come here and go to the other window and okay, it does still validate. And that's what you should be seeing is XHTML 1.0 frame set, and it validates.
I'll figure it out tomorrow with you or Pat, I guess.
Okay, or we can look at it at the end. But, you know, for now, as he says, it's probably some kind of a typo or something else that you've got in there. But that should validate. Okay. Anybody else got other questions hanging around? Yeah.
Can you go over to homework that's due on Thursday? The syllabus
time? Yeah. Okay. So, I took a picture of a page, okay? So that basically, or didn't take a picture of it. If you look at the source, I've got pre in there on this whole thing. So I put in pre, and I don't want you, obviously, to do it with pre. I want you to set it up so that it is going to work as a page. I mean, pre is a lovely thing if that's what you want to get. But so, what did I say? I said I want an image on the page. So this is basically using a lot of stuff. There should be an area for an email address of senders and comments. So what I want basically there is so that you can do one of those mail tos. Okay. You need to put images on the page. Use mapping, including a rectangle and a circle. Extra credit if you include a polygon. So I want you to put an image on, and I want you to map the image. Okay? And I gave you an example of rectangle. I gave you a site that has circle and polygon, for that matter. Polygon's just a pain in the neck. So if you do circle, you're fine. If you want extra credit, do polygon. And I didn't go at the top. So I had a class, and I want you to set it up. You must include at least two tables. I want fonts, bolds, underlining, color, a variety of other things to enhance the page. Set up the return form that I just mentioned, that so you can do a mail, a mail to. And that would be on a form, so you can do a mail too. And I will test that. If you can't get it working, I will test it. If you're doing it here at the school, you can't get it working. That one would have to be, when I test it, I've got to use my Bristol address, which is priscilla.grosser@bristolcc.edu. Do me a favor and don't send me a lot of tests. As you're trying to figure it out, I really, 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 really don't want to hear from you 20 times, because sometimes I have where people are fixing mistakes on the email form. And let's see, I wanted some stuff on that form, and then I just want you to set this up. On the outline, I want you to use the correct way of outlining as opposed to the non-correct. And that would mean that I want you to use CSS, basically. So there I have, I thought I had an idea of where to do that. I'm not sure I did put that in. But anyway, I want you to use CSS. So if you go and you do a search, that is, got to move over a little bit. Oh, now I've got two of them. How nice. I have no idea what that's all about. If I make that go away, okay, we'll see. But if you go and look at CSS for, let's try outline. Nope, that's the wrong thing, but that's kind of interesting. Anybody got any idea of what to look that up? Basically, what I want to do is I want to put in the CSS as opposed to the old way you used to do it. You used to write type equals on the outline, and I don't want to do that. And I'm trying to find a place where they discuss it, and I'm not seeing it.
What kind of CSS are you trying to do?
The time, well, you actually use CSS. Type equals was a way of doing design, but it wasn't using CSS. And I'm trying to find the example because I know it exists.
For the table, right?
Yeah.
Can you do like a dot and then make a name for that particular table?
Yes.
That's what I would.
But you have to, if you want to get a 1 and an A and a B, you have to, and it's a long phrase, which is why I'm not saying it to you. It's something like...
So I'm going to put A, B, C, bullets.
Okay, bullets, that sounds good. And I have it in here someplace, and I just am not figuring out where it is.
CSS list type properties?
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, CSS list type properties.
List style type properties, sorry.
List style properties. Okay, so let's try that.
Style type properties. Yeah.
No, that's a style. Okay. list style type circle. Yeah. Okay, that is. That's it. List style type circle. And if you want to use list style type upper Roman, get you a Roman numeral. And list style type lower alpha gets you lowercase a's. And upper alpha gets you capital A's. And all that good stuff. If they give me... Okay, try it yourself. So on this one, on a particular thing I want to use, and you can put it in the way they did it here, which is class equals A, and there's the class that they want to use here. Class equals C would get me that class. So if I want to get circles or squares, and you can see how it worked over there. And if I change this, for example, well, let me take a picture first. If I change this to upper alpha, okay, and say see results, I've now got capital letters there. Okay, so that is the way that you're supposed to do it. Now, they have OL and then an A out there, which means... that it applies to an ordered list, and then they apply the other to an unordered list. You don't really have to do that. You can set up a class equals A, class equals B. You don't have to specify that it's for one is for a UL and one is for an OL, because you can figure that out as you're doing it. And you can decide which one to use. And then the other thing is that these don't have to be done with classes. You can take and put that right in down here. UL style equals, and you can embed that style right in. Okay, so just like you can do any style locally, you can do this locally if you want to. So you can go down and embed it in. Okay. Any other questions, or does that cover what you wanted covered?
I mean, in the forms are going to be under your example?
Yeah, and put in a form, and I don't really care what you collect, but I think I said I wanted you to use a radio button or a checkbox or whatever. So check something, and the forms are all under my form examples. Okay. Any other questions? But it's the kind of thing that I have to look this up. Do I remember that I'm supposed to write list hyphen style hyphen type colon and then pick, you know, lower alpha? No. I don't make an outline that often. So when I do, I gotta go look it up. So probably the experience of go look it up wasn't all that bad. Okay. And I think I've just wiped myself out, right? Yep. Okay, so last time we were looking at CSS sample code, okay? And we were talking about classes. So I got down here, and this one gets into classes. And maybe some earlier ones do as well, but this is the one I'm going to look at. And this gets into classes. Okay. So my view source here, I have set up two classes, or three classes, no, two classes. Outline and picture box. So I have set up these classes. And when I tell it that I'm doing a class, I put a dot in front of it. And that means that anything that says class equals outline will look for a dot outline up there. Okay? So a class is going to look for the dot. An ID is going to look for a number sign. Okay, so you can use both IDs and classes down there. And we'll look at an example in a few minutes. Essentially, an ID is only supposed to be used once on a page. And a class can be used as often as you want. So, I tend to use classes most of the time because that seems to me it gives me more flexibility. But if you structure your page such as you have a certain look you want for a column or a certain look you want for a body or something like that, then ID can be good because you're only using it once. Okay, I want to have my three columns, and we're going to look at columns today. And the first column is going to have a name that I'll give it as an ID. And the second column is going to have a name, and the third column is going to have a name. And those are only going to be once because I'm using each column only once. Then I can use an ID. I can also use a class. In other words, you never have to use an ID. You can always use classes. And classes can be used multiple times. Okay? So, I try to force myself to use ID, but I find classes kind of nice in the sense that I can be more flexible. And I kind of like buying flexibility when I can. So, I have down here division, class equals outline. And then below, I have the division class equals pick box. And when I go up and look at these, I can see what I'm setting up for the division that has a class of outline. And I can see what I'm setting up for the division that has a class of pick box. And as I said, on that one, I put in a background image. It was a lousy idea. Okay, if I wanted to put in a background image, then I should have picked something that's a little more like a quick little pattern or, you know, something like that, as opposed to something like the big CIS. If I want that in there, I should have used it as an image and just put it in the box and not used a background. Okay, and if you look at that... I ended up getting two images in there, and if I make it smaller, I go down to one image, but I have no real control over it because it depends on the size that the person had. Whereas if I just put an image in there and sized it the way I wanted an image to be, it would be a lot better than trying to use a background image. But I did a background image. Okay, so what I've got here is outline says I want a solid border of medium width and border color brown. And again, here I broke it all down. I've got the width, I've got the color. You can write, if you go and look up border, you can put a lot of things in one line. And we'll do that in a second. Then I have my margin left, my margin right, so that centers it with 30% margin on either side and 40% inside. And then I put a background color using this particular method, which I almost never use, but it's the decimal numbers. This is RGB, and I'm putting in the decimal numbers. Most people, when they do that, use the hexadecimal. Okay, but this is an alternate way of doing it. And you should at least recognize it when you see it and recognize what they're doing. But that's the code for RGB, is the decimals, is in decimals. Okay. And so they're saying that much red, that much green, that much blue. And that's in decimals, but you tend to see it far more often in hexadecimal. So you tend to see the numbers, the three, two digits, because you can express it all within two digits if it's hexadecimal, because FF is 255, and 255 is the max. And so if you use hexadecimal, you can express it a lot easier. So, if I go now and look up borders, border in CSS, and I go to W3 schools and I look at borders. Okay, so I can have border style, border width. Notice there the comment. The border width property does not work if it's used alone. Use the border style property to set the borders first. Okay, so the border width has to have the border style. And that is something to notice. They tell you actually right here, the border color. The name, you can specify it like red, and we looked last time at the wonderful names they come up with. You can express the RGB as decimals. So if you want red, 255 is the maximum red, and I want zero green and zero blue. Or I can express that in hex, and I put a number sign in front of it, and I have FF0000. And I think you see capitals on that more than you see lowercase, but it works either way. So, I can have all of these kinds of things. For example, I can have border style, dotted solid W, double dashed. And I've got there that it will take, the top border is going to be dotted. The next border, it goes clockwise. Top is going to be dotted. Then going down the side is going to be solid. Going across the bottom is going to be double. And going up the next side is going to be dashed. So, if you choose, you can get very creative if you get in there and say border style and you list the four things. Okay, the other thing is that you can write this in shorthand. So, if I write border width, and I want to use border width, border style, and border color. I can write them separately as border width, border style, border color, or I can write border and put the width, the style, and the color all going across. Okay, so I can be very explicit in my borders and say this is what the border width is, this is what the border style is, this is what the border color is. Or I can simply say border and then list with style and color. Okay. And there's several things in HTML that will have this kind of flexibility, in that you can list them all in one. Okay. So I would have been, if I'd been consistent here, I probably would have written border style there as opposed to border. Yeah, I know it's a good last. I will be with you in a sec. Okay, yes. I've got to write once, I think. Okay, so this really is clicked in my magic place. That is supposed to mean that I can now be magic. Yes. So I can have what a style there. But it let me get away with just putting border there as if I was going to do the shorthand, but I only did it on the one thing, and it worked. Okay. I guess I'd probably say that I think I'd prefer to do water style there. But essentially, in examples, I tend to play around. And border worked there, and in fact, I could have done solid medium brown. I could have just written border and then written solid medium brown, and I would have gotten it just fine. Okay, Leo, you had a question.
You said double dotted.
Double dotted, huh?
Did you say double dotted? That's what.
Heavens only knows. I was reading their example. Did they have double dotted, or did I just misread?
No, I was trying to see if that's what you said.
I don't know. I mean, I was reading their example. Go back to their example.
I'm kind of lost where it is, actually, because I've done most of this.
You've what?
I've done most of this, as you've seen with my...
Okay, I was back here someplace. W3 schools, no.
Or maybe you said double dash.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, there is a bunch of things that you can do, and I picked one of them. I read whatever their example had. If you want to know all of the variations you can put as borders, then just go look up border style, and you'll get a series of styles that you can put on in the border. And it depends on how creative you want to be. Okay, so then as I moved on, the last one down here was an example of where I am missing one thing. Okay, and this was, I have, instead of using pickbox alone, I wrote div.pickbox in front of it. And if I write div.pickbox here, that means it can only be applied, pickbox can only be applied to a division. And we saw that a minute ago when we were looking at the styles, and I said you could use just A, B, or C, but they had UL.A. That meant A can only be applied to UL. B can only be applied to UL, or B was applied, C was applied to OL. Now, actually, stepping back there a minute, that's really a lousy idea to call classes A, B, C, and D. You should have more meaningful class names so that when somebody goes to look at, they're going to understand what that class is all about. But saying class A, what does that mean? You know, whereas if I say something that's a little more descriptive, it will help. Okay, so here I went back and I made a division with the class of outline. And I made a paragraph with a class of outline. I made a division with a class of picture, a paragraph with a class of picture box, and I made a division with a class of picture box. So, outline worked just fine because I didn't put anything in front of the dot, so outline was able to be applied to both a division and a paragraph. So it worked just fine. But on pickbox, I put the div in front of it, which means it cannot be applied to a paragraph. And my paragraph simply had room for a background image, so it had a whole lot of BRs. So that's why you see the blank space there, is it put it up, but it didn't put it up with any style, because the style D didn't apply since it was a paragraph, not a division. So that didn't apply. And so I just get all of the lovely BRs that I had in that paragraph, so it moves down. Because it wrote the paragraph just fine, but it couldn't apply the pick box, because pick box cannot be applied to a paragraph. It can only be applied to a division. And as I said last time when we were looking at this, I'm not real clear why anybody wants to do that. In my opinion, why not just make pick box? I'm writing the code, so I can choose what I want to apply it to, as opposed to putting the restriction on so that if somebody comes along and wants to modify my page, you know, they have to check that there's restrictions on this one. And that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But as I said, I like to keep ultimate flexibility. Okay. So, now we're going to, I already did the ones where I said there was a problem with alignment and color because I put the things inside quotes. And once they went inside quotes and they also don't have a number sign, they don't work. So none of that text aligning, none of the background color, none of it worked because I put in the quotes. And there were previous times in HTML when those quotes were acceptable and in fact desired. And so basically just keep in mind that if you're modifying an old page and those quotes are floating around, get rid of them. And the second one was simply fixing that. Okay, so I simply fixed that and went in and put the number sign in and took the quotes out, and now it's working just fine. Okay, the third one down is the one where I, again, we looked at this quickly. But this one has the lovely names like floral white and cornflower blue. Okay, so you can go and pick your name as opposed to pick your color. And if you go to W3 Schools, they have the whole list of them, and we looked at that last time. Okay. And now we're going to look at something new, which is importing, because I don't think we did that. Okay, if you import something, it is an alternate way of getting a style in. So on this one, I wanted two different style sheets. And I could link to two different style sheets the way I ordinarily do, but this is an alternate way of doing it. I can say ampersand import and then tell it the name of the CSS. And notice that is done within a style. Okay, when I do the link, it is not done within the style. Okay, so let's go back and take a look at one of the ones where I did a link. Okay, so the very first one in here, I did a link. And notice the link is outside the style. It's part of the head, where I just said link, and I put in, and I told it was a style sheet when I did the link. Okay, so that is there. On the import one, I put the import inside the style. So I say style type equals text CSS, and then I say import whatever is in CSS A X.css and import whatever is in CSS B X.css. And those end up essentially being as if they've been written here in the style. but I'm just importing them from an external source. So there's two ways of getting in external stuff, and this is one of them. Okay. So if I go back now and look, there's CSSA that I imported. And if you look at it, that's what it looks like. So that's the CSSA that I imported. And again, it's simply style written there. I don't have anything other than the style code. And that just gets imported and put right into my code. Now, what's the value of it? Again, the value is that I can bring this into five different pages, and they'll all be able to use the same style that I've set up.
Okay. The way I've been doing CSS, I've never used the at import.
That's fine.
And so I would always have it so, let's see. I'm assuming that it's the same way, sort of the same way I do it, but said differently.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's an alternative.
Like, I have is href equals and at import.
Right.
So is that pretty much the same thing?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's an alternative.
Okay.
And that's what I mean by alternative. If I come up here and look at this, this is the way you did it. And this is the way, presumably, everybody's done it, if they've done it, because that was the first thing we went over. And that just is written inside the head where I say link each reference equals and I write all that stuff. But the computer world almost never gives you just one option. Okay? It just doesn't do that. I am convinced that they have table meetings and nobody knows how to say no. And so everybody's idea is accepted. But anyway, that's a cynical point of view. So I've got basically here two alternatives. And these are two ways that I can do CSS. I can say, do it and say, bring in this external page using link href equals, or I can put the import here right within the style. Now, both of these, I have assumed that the CSS is in the same directory. If the CSS is not in the same directory, I need a path to get to it. But I have assumed that it's in the same directory for these.
So then in that case, would the code still be the same for the at import or the href?
Yes.
Like with a, let's say, HTTP or whatever it may be. Like, I'm not really sure how you would tell it to go through another folder and stuff like that.
You just put in an address and it... Okay, if you had CIS-121?
No.
Okay. Then use HTTP. yes, you can put in the entire HTTP address. If you're comfortable moving around in folders, you can have it back up two folders and go down two folders and do all of that kind of stuff so that you don't have to go through. You can say, okay, I'm in this folder. I want to back up two folders, and then I want to take a different direction and go down two folders or something like that. And you can actually write that, and that's fine. And that's why I asked if you'd had 121. But if not, just put in an HTTP address, and that will work. Yeah.
So if both of those imported style sheets conflict with one another, which one takes precedence?
Apparently the first one, I mean the closest one.
Okay. Yeah, we learned that last class.
So yeah. That would be import, right?
Pardon me?
So that would be import in this example.
Import B is the one that's closest. I believe that I'm remembering right, that it's still the closest one, so it's the bottom one.
If it was internal, it would just be what's seen first.
Habit.
Yeah.
The path that we're all
attempting. Okay.
All that extra time you got.
And again, the import is an alternative that's used. I don't see it half as much. I mean, I don't see it very often. I see the H reference a lot more frequently.
It's easier.
Huh?
It's easier.
But, you know, well, it's pretty much six of one, half dozen of another, really. Because, you know, I'm putting the CSS up there. The CSS looks the same. So, in fact, I could use an H reference in one program to bring the page in, and I could use an import in another program to bring the page in, because it's just CSS. That file is just CSS. If I put .css on it, all I want in it is CSS. So one program could bring it in with H reference, another program could bring it in with import. Okay? Because it's just bringing in CSS. And I've got the two down there that it imports. So there's the one. This one has a couple of classes in it. This one has a error in it, and the next one is the fix of it. But we'll look at it and see if we can pick up the error in it. So that one's the next one down. Okay? So what I've got there is my style is all, in this case, in the head. Okay? So I put in a bunch of different borders. I've got a border of 2 pixels and solid. And a padding of 5 pixels and text align center and a color red. Now notice I didn't put anything about the border color in there. So it took the default color of red. Since I set the color to red, the color red got applied also to the border. If I had wanted to have a different border color, I could have said 2px solid and green or something, and then it would have given me a border of green. This is the kind of thing that I mentioned last time, that the browsers themselves will determine how they're going to handle this. Okay? So, the browser clearly decided that the color of the border would be the same as the color that I specified. Okay, but if I'd had a body in here and I'd put another color up there, I haven't been specific, so it's up to the browsers which one they would choose. Whether they would take the default color that went with the body or whether they take the default color that goes in the H1. There's a lot to be said, even though there's more typing or keying or whatever. There's a lot to be said to being specific and not letting the browser make a decision for you unless you honestly don't care. And then let the browser make the decision. Okay, I came down and I have below a border of 4px grooved. Notice I've got different kinds of borders, solid, inset, groove, different kinds. Okay, and I've got in this case a background color and a foreground color. Then on H4, I've got display inline font size 24 points. And if you look down below, I have the H4. First of all, that H probably should have been a capital, but I think it did all right with that. If you look down below, I have an H4 that says the line. So this part, the line, is inside H4. I wanted H4 to be a font size of 24. I'm not seeing that. Why? I don't think that's the reason.
there's an opening each. Oh, there it is. The line. Should it be capital H down below, too?
No, as I said, I don't think it's the H that's the problem, but we can try fixing that. But there's another very specific problem that's in the way.
It's not listed in pixels.
Pardon?
It's not listed in pixels.
Yeah, no, that it could be the points or pixels.
That there's no space after the colon?
No space after what?
The colon?
No, but the space is the right idea. There is a space.
From 24 and on.
That's right.
Okay.
There is a space between the 24 and the PT. And I'm very fond of doing that. I have errors that I'm very fond of doing because I just think that there should be a space there. So I have done this more often. Huh?
Say Grocer's rule of thumb?
Don't do it this way. The 24 should not have a space between 24 and PT, and it totally ignores it because it did. And then the next one, I have a paragraph, and again, I have a capital P there, and it worked fine. And that gives me letter spacing, which is kind of interesting. That means every letter is going to take up 10 PT. So I space out the writing, and every letter is taking up a certain amount of room, which is kind of a neat thing if you wanted to do a header and kind of space it out like that or something. It's just kind of one of those neat things you can do with CSS. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is open the next one, and that has the fix on this. And so now, and I actually changed the H, and I think I changed the P too. But the big thing I changed was it now has the 24 PT all as one thing. And notice what happened then. We have a division, and then we had an H4 in it. Okay, so why didn't the H4 is usually moved down and start a new line. But because I said inline on this, display inline, it ignored the fact that it was an H4 and in fact displayed it inline. Okay? So if you, a header ordinarily will move down to a new line and leave a blank line after it. But by saying in line, I said, forget that. I want to override that. I want you to act this way. And so it does. Okay. Questions? Okay. On this one, I wanted to put images on top of each other. Okay. So I am using to do that a Z index. And I'm also using position absolute, meaning I want it to be exactly where I tell it. And I said for each of my classes there, and notice I have three classes. I have a .cis class, a .snow class, and a .flag class. And each of those is the class that goes with a particular image. And each of them, I said I wanted the top to be 16 pixels and the left to be 16 pixels. And then by saying position absolute, I am saying I want it to be exactly in that position. I don't want it to move around. Because ordinarily, if I put in three images, they would make them not on top of each other. But by saying these are the positions I want, and I want absolute positioning, as opposed to anything else, like relative, then what it does is it puts them on top of each other. the lowest Z index is the base one. So Z index 0 will go in the bottom. Then Z index 1 goes next, and Z index 2 goes next. Okay. So I have set up the three images, and I've piled them on top of each other. Now, I could have changed. I put them all at the same spot up at the top left, but I didn't have to. I could have taken the flag and put it right over the little shed or something and put CIS in the middle of whatever this area was, and then I would have had to figure out what I wanted for my top and my left and change the numbers. But I could have moved them in and moved them down and made different changes to get different spacing. Yes, no, maybe? Okay, on the next one, I did that again, but this time I used IDs. So instead of using the dot, I use the number sign because I'm using the ID instead of the class. And this time I numbered them 1, 2, and 3, and that has nothing to do with I moved over to ID. I just wanted to use, it doesn't have to start with 0. So I used 1, 2, 3. In fact, you could probably start with 10, 11, 12. I've never tried that. I've always stuck with 0 or 1, but I don't think it actually cares as long as the numbers go progressively up. But I have a class, an ID here. So I have now the division ID equals snow, ID equals flag, and ID equals CIS. And I put in exactly the same code, but now I have a number sign in front of them. And so now they're working as IDs as opposed to classes. And I'm following the rules because an ID should only be used once, and I'm only using it once. So I'm fine within the rules. You look like you have a question. No? Okay.
For once, I'm not lost.
Yay! Okay, questions?
I don't understand the use of it, but I understand.
Well, I mean, if you want to, for some reason, you decide you want to have a background image and you want to place something on top. I'm not a background image, an image, and then you want to put something on top. You can.
Right. I just don't foresee the reason to it.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I think most people would just put it into like a paint and just post like a text on over it if they really want to do that.
That, right.
Is there a reason why you would not want to start your z-index at 0?
No, not that I know of at all. It's just the world, you know, the computer world tends to start counting with 0 lots of times. But then again, they don't, because when you say count, usually you get a real number as opposed to 0 being counted. It's bizarre. Yeah.
No, I was just saying it works if you use negative numbers.
It works if you use negative numbers, too? Okay.
I mean, that's how it was on with W3 schools.
They use negative numbers?
Use an example with negative numbers.
Very good. Okay. I never would have occurred to me even to try that. That's interesting.
I saw an example.
Yeah. No, right. Okay. So, that's using class and ID. And okay.
Both of those are used equally, right? Class and ID? Or which one's more, I guess?
Well, yeah, I think class... I don't know how to answer that. Class can be reused. So if you have multiple things on your page that you want to have the same style, you have to use class. Division should only be once. So division tends to be more big picture. And that's what that does. Okay, the other thing that I'm looking at here is notice I've got a background image on here. and I changed my font because I got sick of writing. Okay, so I've got a background image going across here. And notice that when I scroll up, it goes up. And there's two ways that I can do that. So I've got a view source. Okay. And my body background color is beige. And then I've said I want a background image of CISA GIF. And I want the repeat to be along the x-axis. So a repeat x repeats along the x-axis. Repeat y will repeat along the y-axis. And I said here, background attachment scroll, which means it will scroll up and off the page when I go down. When I scroll down the page, it will scroll up and off the page. And we'll see an example in a minute of it not scrolling. Okay, and so the next example is along the y-axis. So this is repeat y along the y-axis. Now I have scroll, but scroll doesn't really do me any good when I've got the y-axis, because it will just keep repeating it. Okay, so if I scroll down on the y-axis, it never loses it because it just keeps making it. And so scroll doesn't really do me any good in the y-axis. The third one down has just a single one. So I said there, I want the background position to be in the top left. I want the repeat to be no repeat. And this time, instead of scroll, I want it to be fixed. So it will stay there. Now, how people use this is, if I wanted to take the CIS information department and make it a logo for me, and keep it in the bottom left or something like that, I'd probably first go to paint and make it a lot dimmer and dim it way down so that I could write on top of it, actually. But sometimes people want to put a logo someplace on the page and they want that logo to stay on the page. And so this lets you do that. So I put it here in the top left, but I could put it in the top right, the bottom left, bottom right. And there is a center also that you can use. And I said no repeat, which means I'm seeing it only once in a fixed position. So as I said, if I scroll, it stays there. If I made that scroll, then it scrolls up and off. If I make it fixed, it stays where it is. And again, I mean, we're looking at things now. If you never want to use them, that's fine. But part of the role of doing web development is also fixing other pages that other people have done. And so you need to kind of understand it from that point of view as well. Okay, this one has a scroll off. Okay, so it's going. And so if I look at this page, the only thing that I changed was background attachment is now scroll, as opposed to background attachment being fixed. And notice I can have both a, we had an example where I used just background and it gave me problems putting on an image. But if I do both background color and be specific and say background color and background image, it lets me have both. Okay, and I think I have one or two more of those. That's in the bottom corner. And that's fixed, so it's going to stay there in the bottom right. So if I scroll down, ta-da, it stayed there in the bottom right. And, you know, if you wanted your company logo to be there, as I said, I would first of all make it very, very faint. Go into paint and make it very, very faint so that it almost doesn't show, but it's kind of like a...
watermark.
Hmm?
Almost like a watermark.
Yes.
Or,
yeah.
Days away.
So, that finishes up that. Floating allows me... I have a class here that's called To Float. And I made it say, float to the right, color maroon with 30%. And let's see what else I have here. Divisions I made only with 75%. Okay. And I gave divisions a background of pink, color of navy, font size, whatever, and a width of 75%. So, first of all, you can see that all of my divisions, and I purposely put the background color in there just so you could see it, but all of my divisions only use 75% of the page. Okay? Because I specifically said the width is 75%. Okay, this is an example of text that is set to float. Okay, so floating means that it floats over to the side. Or floats to wherever I tell it to float, actually. So I have an example here. This is an example of text that is set to float. So let me go down and find that. This is centered when dealing with... This is an example. It's right there. Okay. It's on line 59. So it says, this is an example of text that is set to float. And it's set to float because I used class to float. Okay. And down below, I have an image that is also using class to float. And so they're floating over and following that class. And that class, if you go up, says, float to the right, make the color maroon, and make it width of 30%. So it floats over to the side. Only uses 30%, and you can see if I bring this over like that, that it's only using 30%. So it floats over to the side. So this gives you a little bit of control. If I want an image beside a paragraph or something like that, I can float it over to the side. And then down below, I have a couple where I put the style specifically inside and use the style to make it float in different ways. Okay, so you can see those down there. And I've got... Where I've put, okay, I want... Let me get it there. I've said, okay, I want the style right, color red. Style float left, color red. Style right, and style right. Okay, so I've got the style text floating over. Now, I do this when I am putting it, embedding it like this. I use the word span. Span is kind of a neat little thing that it doesn't have to be a paragraph. It doesn't have to be a division, but I'm talking about this little area. and I want this area back this way. So I put it in the span tag. And it's kind of that, if I want to put something in the middle, if I want to put something at the, if I want to just change something, and it's part of a paragraph, I can just use the span. And so there I said, I put in span and said, okay, float to the right. Take this part and float it to the right. And then just keep going. But take that part and do something to it. You can take something and take the span and say, I want to make this bold. Or I want to underline this. Or I want to make this red. Or I want to do all three and put in the style for span that these three words should be red, bold, and underlined. And so I can put in all three styles. Yeah.
So if you do more than one span, you're going to have the name equals, right, for each span that you put into it?
If I am attaching it to something in the body, but the ones up above I use class on. So I just set up the class.
Oh, so one span, but that's the same as with the... What was the other one that you said you only do one of, generally?
ID.
ID. So and you span. Could do it with ID, too. But
span and ID are pretty much a one-time thing, and then you go to...
Don't even try to equate those.
Okay?
Don't even try. ID is similar to class in that it allows me to name something and then apply a style to it, plus apply CSS to it.
Okay.
And so ID and division, and yeah, right. ID and class let me set up a style for a particular thing.
Okay
now span is more that I am going inside a paragraph that I've written or something and said I want to treat this set of words differently than I treat the rest of the paragraph, or differently than I treat the rest of the division. So span does that for me. Okay, now I could have used span class down here if I'd wanted to set up a class on this little area where I said span, and I'm looking now for the span. I could have set up a class there. Okay, I could have said span, style, and then set up a class. Okay, so I could have put the span and said class equals whatever the class was, and then gone up and taken that name and said that will be float to the right, width 25, color orange, and all that good stuff. So I could have made all of these classes and then put three more classes up above. But what span does for me is it allows me to go inside a paragraph or a division and change the style for a particular set of words or a particular sentence. So if I want to make a sentence stand out, I can use span to highlight and make that sentence stand out. Because there's times when you've written a paragraph but you'd like to have something really stand out, and maybe I just want to make it red. I can use span and then set up a style of red, either using a class or writing the style directly into the span. Okay. So these could all be a class. Instead of writing the style down here, I could use class. And people that are very, very conscious of the fact that they want to separate style and data, or style and content, would use classes there. They wouldn't put the style in down there. Okay. I tried to use a combination, basically, of doing it sometimes with a class and doing it sometimes this way. Questions? And the last one. This was just playing around. So I started out and I said the class that I'm going to name first and the class that I'm going to name second. And if you look down, let's look at the bottom first. I have division, class first, division, class second. And all I wrote was this is my first, this is my second, this is my third. So I just set all of those up and gave each one a different class. So then I came up here and I said, okay, first and second, I want to be color red and float to the left. Okay, now notice I just have division there. I don't have any BR. I just, when I set it up down at the bottom, I said division, class equals a word, and I closed division. And remember, division does not have a line after it. So I said I wanted first and second to float to the left and be red. Then I wanted third to float to the right and be blue. And then I wanted fourth to also float over to the right and be brown. But notice that I put blue over to the far right, and so the brown came in before it. Because I floated it over to the far right, and so it was already there, so the next one floated over and bumped into it, basically. Okay. Fifth and sixth, I said I wanted to have a color green, and I wanted to clear the right and then float to the right. So that means clear out. I've already pushed two things over there. If I didn't have the clear, this is the fifth, would have gone there, right in front of this is the fourth. But I cleared it out. So I cleared out the floating to the right, basically, and said float to this to the right, which meant it dropped down a line and did it. And then cleared again and dropped down another and did it. Then if you look, this is on the same line as this is the sixth. Notice it's on the same line. And the seventh, I said float to the left. And then the eighth, I floated over to the left. And they went on the same line. And then on the ninth, I said I wanted it to be pink, float to the right, and I wanted to clear everything. And so it cleared both the left and the right and floated it over there. If you want to understand how these things work, playing with something like this, just sitting down and playing with it for a while and doing what I just did here with a few sentences and seeing what I can put in to make them float differently and how I can work it, really gives you a better understanding of how this stuff works. And the clear clears out, okay? I've been floating, but now I want to forget about that and I want to clear it out. Okay. So I think this is kind of an interesting example, and there's a lot of these kinds of things to look at. Okay, we will take a break and come back.
All right, so you have...
I'm going to turn off the recording.